producer. They need to put very least.
In fuck, what's his name?
Filoni?
Mr. Hat?
Yeah,
Feige?
Filoni.
Filoni.
I fucking said Filoni.
I know, that's why I looked to I said Filoni. He has Filoni. Eyes
of blindness.
I heard Feige.
That was the second one I said.
Oh.
I don't I still
in all fairness, it did sound like you said baloney.
Why would I just talk about daily
I needs? Don't know.
You guys never had it. I know.
That makes sense for Isaac.
I've been craving mortadella. You ever mortadella? We're talking deli meats. Fuck, it's good.
Welcome to the Hyper Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are our band.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hype Attack.
I am the hype.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast. I'm Doug. I'm here as always with Isaac, Rudy, Jermaine.
What's up?
We're just a bunch of nerds that are excited to talk about Star Wars, which, you know, I mean, if you've watched the show, we don't talk about it that much, but we talk about Star Wars quite a bit.
We're not a Star Wars podcast, but fucking we're close.
Yeah, that's because Star Wars exists everywhere constantly. It is nonstop. I think even if you're not a fan of the genre, Star Wars is there always. But more specifically, we're going to talk about Skeleton Crew. It's the latest show that has come out on Disney Plus. It's been out for a little while. It's finished for a little while. I personally wanted to talk about this show because based off what I've read, a lot of people actually haven't watched it, which is shocking because I think it's one of the best, not the best, Andor's the best, but I think it's one of the best Star Wars that has come out in a long, long time. If you're a fan of the Goonies, if you're a fan of any of that old 80s Kids on Bikes, even though there was no bikes in this, but they might as well have been.
Space Bikes.
Kids on Bikes versus Pirates.
Yeah, exactly. Space Kids on Bikes versus Pirates. It has the formula for being a good show, whether it was Star Wars or not, but it happened to be Star Wars. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Star Wars Skeleton Crew. Guys, any opening thoughts on this?
Anakin was right.
By killing younglings? Yeah. Yep.
Don't get me wrong. Some of the characters and their archetypes, or whatever you want to call it, absolutely deserved a lightsaber through the chest.
Whoa!
Like, and there was a lightsaber in the show, so I was very surprised no one got that, got the Padawan treatment. But, I mean, you had to have those characters. Like, those characters are meant to be who they were so that, you know, the group works together the way it worked. Just almost just like the Goonies. So, I mean, you had an annoying, like, and I hate that it's a girl. Like, I wish they had made, like, the guy annoying, because then it seems like we're attacking it because she's a girl, but she's not. Her personality was just that headstrong, know-it-all, and it's what I like to call Rachel. Rachel's strong, but she's wrong.
Yeah, so we're strong and wrong.
Yeah.
We're talking about the character Fern.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I started rewatching. I didn't rewatch the full season, but I rewatched the first few episodes, and I'm glad you brought that up, because while watching it the second time, I was trying to be mindful of that. If I am being more harsh on her because she is a girl versus if it was just, because generally that archetype is more traditionally played by a male or a boy or a man.
She was tomboy.
Yeah, she was very tomboyish. So I wanted to be careful that I wasn't just like, God, this, you know, bitch because of that. But no, like,
it's a kid.
I know, she is six years old. What are you doing?
No, she's not six, but. I really sat with that thought. I was just like, no, this character literally is supposed to be this bullyish boy. And honestly, if she was a boy character, I would have had the same.
Yeah.
It would have been like this dick instead of this bitch, right?
That's what I sat with too. I was like, if it had been a boy character, I still would have hated it.
But she was an interesting character because she was so bullyish and so bitch. But the other kids, other than KB, I loved KB.
Love KB.
But the two boys were idiots. And so it's like, she was this bully bitch, but it's like, thank God she's there.
Yeah, my biggest problem was when we started watching it, I was like, yeah, it's cool, but Jesus Christ, Wim.
Dude, shut the fuck up. He's hitting every button. Yeah. I think you guys went to like his rescue. Like, why would it be him when he hit the big shiny button and hit it? So I'm like, fucking, but at one point, sorry, speaking of lightsabers, didn't he like turn it on the wrong way? I'm like, he was the one that deserved a fucking light. Yeah. Maybe not to the chest. They're kids, Doug, you know, but maybe like a lightsaber to the foot.
If he had burned a toe off, I wouldn't have been mad.
Yeah. So to be fair to the five of you that watch all of our episodes, which is six, like four of us, and then maybe one more.
Like shares and spreads.
Yeah. We did talk about the first couple episodes briefly in one of the final episodes of season two, because I think the first two episodes had come out at the same day. So, yeah, Rudy and I loved the acting that the actor that played Wim did when he saw that green flashing button on the ship.
Yeah, the acting's not bad. It was just the characters were annoying. That's
And so it's
success.
Again, on the second watch through, I realized like one, they're kids. And they're on a planet that probably never really faced any conflict.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So
spoiled kids.
I was going to say privileged, but yeah, like in a way, like kind of privileged. I mean, that world didn't exactly look like a fun world to be in. Mm-mm. And that was Wim's whole character was like somehow he just had that itch. Mm-hmm. And I would argue Fern kind of had that itch as well. Maybe she wasn't fully aware of it, but I think she had that itch as well. So I could understand them like getting thrown into that environment and being a stupid little kid still, because he's never had that conflict.
I know.
And I would say, so I enjoyed the fact that the very first few scenes we got were those kids being kids, and they were playing Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right. He was playing with the action figures of the Jedi. They had their fake little lightsaber fight. You know, I think there was some pew-pewing with the rocket ship or something at some point. Which I think is a good reminder to us in our world, the real world, that Star Wars is about that. It's about kids being able to play with their action figures and fly around making laser noises.
Timeline wise, where does it sit in the overall
universe? In the era of The Mandalorian, I would say it's easiest to kind of grasp. It's like after Return of the Jedi, but before the 30 year later sequels.
Yeah. So during the New Republic.
Got it.
Karen, you just watched it.
Can I just say real quick, hold on, before you get into it. As Doug mentioned, the little kids playing with your action figures and stuff. How irresponsible is it to let... How old are these kids? Like around...
They had to be like 10,
11.
The actors are like, like early teens, but the I felt like the characters were younger.
Oh, no, the kid that played Wim was 20 years old. Holy shit. No, I don't know.
No.
But how irresponsible is it to let these little kids take on... Like the turret guns in this pirate ship, I'm like, I would not give a machine gun to a 10-year-old and be like, hey, defend the ship against pirates.
But you had no other option.
But that's just who Jabba was, though.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Well, Luke, I'm just saying, I'm like, they're letting these two kids in the ball turrets. And I'm like, cool.
Luke was technically Anakin like,
race, baby.
Yeah, yep, Anakin, that's true. Anakin was the pirate. Luke was technically like 15, right, in the first episode? In episode 4? Or did they retcon that and make him a little older?
No, they're both. Of age?
14. They're roughly around 14, 13.
Luke was 15 in episode 4, right?
So, no, he was 18.
Was he?
Yeah.
He okay. just he whined was of, so fucking much.
He was of university age. He was trying to get to the Imperial Academy.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought
But that's the thing. But if that's your crew, if you know, and that's what you have to work with, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would have loved to have been a little kid fucking mowing down, like actually killing people with laser guns. I love it. But I was like, okay, cool. We're, you know, the Goonies. I didn't see the Goonies stabbing anyone in the face.
But
with the pirate sword.
Holy shit. Imagine that version.
Since I just watched it, though, recently.
Maybe we'll get that in the reboot.
Because of Jod, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So his character at the end, you know. When he finally said what everybody else wanted to say to those kids, like, shut up. But it showed at the end that he really didn't care about those kids regardless. So, him putting them, you know, in harm's way, you know, where he didn't have to do it, you know, himself. But, you know, granted, that's the crew he had to work with. But I liked... his character arc at the end, because you've kind of really got to see who he truly was.
Yeah.
And it, not, I wish we would have got that more in the beginning, but with that said, it probably wouldn't have worked.
Because they had to keep that mystery.
Just, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're talking about Jude Law's character.
How do you pronounce that?
Jod.
Na-na-na-wood?
Sure. I was actually a little heartbroken when at the end he really kind of betrayed those kids. Because he started, like, warming up to him a little bit. There was that scene when Wim was crying, and he kind of sat down with them for a little bit. The Pleasure Planet episode, or the Leisure Planet episode, or whatever.
You Pleasure know. Planet. What did I miss? Hold on, let me sit up.
I've heard that's called Epstein Island.
Oh, wow.
Don't ooh that.
But even that, even though, like, Epstein. He was very much like, you know, fuck off, kids. I want to go do my thing. I still feel like it was, he was warming up to those kids. And
I wanna,
it kind of broke my heart. But to your point, I think it makes a much more interesting character for him at the end to be like, nah.
Because he real quick, because even though it's like, you know, oh, it seems like the Goonies and, you know, there's the kids and they grow and the adults find themselves, the inner child in them. And there's this bad, gruff guy, mysterious dude. Maybe he's good. Maybe he's bad. It would have been, I don't know, I felt like it would have been like expected, predictable for them to do that. So like, congrats to them. Be like, no, he's actually still an asshole.
But with all that said, he was one of those guys that, yes, he had the facades of being a guy warming up to these kids, but then all these side characters was like, don't trust that guy.
Yeah.
He's a liar, you know? So you were seeing two sides of the scale, but they delivered it with a little bit of, you know, like, oh yeah, he's going to ride with the kids. Mm-hmm. But then at the end, you know, you really saw that he was like a true pirate.
He almost feels, like parallel to Din Djarin, the Mandalorian, with like that sort of, you know, orphan backstory, but goes on a different path, obviously. Whereas Din is like, yeah, here's this kid. I'm actually gonna help him out forever and ever. And this guy's like, no, I'm just gonna use the kids for now, and then you know, means to an end.
Yeah, that's a good point. How do you guys feel about the reveal of who he was, right? Because that was one of the biggest mysteries. Because we saw him use the Force right away, and the kids thought he was a Jedi, and you know, he did the whole like, I never actually said I was a Jedi. So, for those of you that maybe didn't watch the show, it was revealed that he was training as a Jedi before Order 66 happened, right? And his master got offed.
No, I thought it was he was a kid born, you know, poor in the gutter. And while he was there, you know, doing his poor kid stuff, a Jedi who was fleeing Order 66 came across him and like saw the potential and started to train him a little bit. And then the Empire caught up with the master, or not. I don't even know if it was a master, just thought, you know, it could have been anyone, Padawan, whatever.
I think you're right. I was probably drunk when I watched
But they found him, and he says like they made me watch while they killed the him or her, I forget.
I really should have recently rewatched it.
Yeah, I meant to at least get to that. I should have rewatched that final episode because, with all that, the reveal of all that kind of stuff.
But, like, he was never, like, it wasn't, like, a strictly, like, he was born, found by the Jedi, raised in the temple, and then left because, you know, they were being hunted.
So, with that said, when I was watching this, just him being who he was, I really wish that the kids were kind of like poor kids and they weren't from this type of establishment, you know, this planet that was, you know, rich, you know, because they had all the
money.
The Old Republic.
The credits.
Was it the Old Republic credits? Yeah.
Dietaries. Well, we're going to get into that later, too, because I have a little bit of a like, what the fuck? But
because continue. I really liked like his little backstory. And with, you know, being Star Wars, the skeleton crew, like, I really wish that those kids would have just joined up with him in the end and they would just took that's that,
pretty
like,
good too.
Like, took that planet for their, their money, just went in there and plundered because of all the things that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they were either the poor kids and, you know, the poor people, and nobody was looking after us. That was just my little thing. I was like, I just wish it was just flipped just a little bit. But yeah, anyways.
With this story, do you think that those kids, did they announce any season two? Or do you feel, does it feel like their story is done here?
I would say the kids' stories are probably done. I mean, the planet is now open to the New Republic.
Yeah.
And so there is certainly potential for other characters in that era to, like, maybe get to that planet or something at some point. I don't know if they could do a full season with those kids. His character, though, there is a lot of potential. A lot. And we had pirates in Mandalorian, right? There was a couple episodes, or at least the one episode with the pirates. So
we don't,
like,
call those things pirates.
What?
Those pirates were such trash.
In The Mandalorian?
Yeah, the design of those pirates. Like, oh, yeah. He had that little, like swamp thing, like weed face or whatever.
Didn't one of the pirates pop up? Or there was a...
I thought the one was at least the same alien species, right? The one guy with, like, the, kind of the horns, like the pink guy in Skeleton
Crew? Probably, I don't know. Don't ask me. He doesn't know.
Yeah. No, we have to
look. If he doesn't know, we don't know.
The dog pirate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't know if they referenced it because, but there's a lot of things, you know, in this show. Yeah, you get the Goonies, but yes, it's a pirate show, and they had that little Disney Pirates of the Caribbean moment where they left the key right outside. I was like, oh, God, here we go with this.
Yeah.
But
and SM-33 being Smee.
Yeah. That too. And then the dog pirate, in my head, I was like, if they're pulling from Little Kid's Story, I was like, is that like the wolf from Neverending Story? The one that was inside, like, the cave. Remember when, what's his name now? With his horse was in the
I keep wanting to say Atreyu, but wasn't Atreyu the name of the horse?
Atreyu was, well, the kid, right?
I thought Atreyu was the dragon thing. I don't
remember now. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
But anyways,
someone's yelling at their phone just, right now.
Right. I just thought that his design, just being like that dog faced wolf, just reminded me of that image from the Neverending Story.
That particular character was from episode 4, the very first movie where they're in the cantina.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole menagerie of aliens was like, let's grab whatever we can and just make a bunch of alien faces, and that was like some kind of wolfman mask. And those characters have been, like, you know, expanded on in the universe. But I think that was the first time they actually, like, brought one center and would, like, let them have a full-on role.
Yeah.
Like a full-on, like, feature role.
And I would say that wolf character, I mean, it was a guy in a costume. And it wasn't a very fancy costume. But it worked, right? And that's the weird thing about practical effects. You know, you even go back to the first Ninja Turtle movie where it's just like, you really don't need all of the CGI facial, you know, billions of dollars just to get the eye to wink, right? Like, you get a couple, like, I don't know. I was never really taken out of it watching Skeleton Crew when the majority of those people, those characters were just people in costumes.
Yeah, a lot of the show was surprisingly practical, you know, as far as, like, the sets too. And the costumes, but, you know, but when there was a CG, like, I thought it was, for a series, was done fucking well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think all the complaints that people have had about previous Star Wars looking cheap or something like that, this one certainly didn't fall into that. I mean, there was a little bit. I think, like, the Hutt, the Jabba-looking character looked a little bad. I laughed my ass off at that. Again, that was on the leisure planet when the little waiter and the Jabba character, like, grabs him. Like, no, sir, no, sir, needs him.
He was like, not again.
Yeah, not again, sir. Yeah. But yeah, so to answer your question, like, I think there's a lot of potential to get more of Jod's story. And I hope we do. I think, at least in comic books, but I'd love to see more Jude Law being awesome.
Because, like, just one season, like, you have an actor like Jude Law and you just use him for one season. Like, he has to pop up somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, the budget on that show or for that season was $136 million. The Mandalorian was $120 at season.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty significant jump.
Yeah, I mean, it's Star Wars. sci-fi. It's going to cost some money.
You don't have to pay the kids that much.
Yeah, yeah. Any particular moments in this show that like really stood out, like you would watch again, or if someone posted the reel, you'd be like, oh, let me watch that scene.
Shit, you know, I don't remember a lot because I didn't recently rewatch it. You go first, Jermaine.
There's not really much that really grabbed me in the show. There was just little things in there that, you just thought that was cool, but nothing in particular. There is one little gripe that I had about the show before I get into that, but what was the kid's name again? The one that pressed the button again?
Wim.
That little fucker right
so
there.
So it killed me that like he was the one, you know, that had the book, you know, like he was looking at the little, you know,
the Jedi stories and everything.
Yeah, like he really wanted to go on an adventure. But it was one of those things like where he was literally on, you know, quote unquote, like a adventure of a lifetime. But he was still like, this isn't what I want. Like, this isn't the adventure that I had imagined in my head. And he was kind of like sobbing through like the whole series until he finally like, you know, look, like this is kind of cool that we're out here. But I know he was blaming himself for all that stuff, but it was just one of those things where I just wanted to grab him like Homer Simpson and just if you don't enjoy this,
maybe that was the meta shot at Star Wars fans.
Yeah, that's what I was
just gonna say, like life, you know. Yeah,
but it's like I wanted a Star Wars adventure. This isn't it,
man. Kids show. Well, you're acting like a fucking kid.
Yeah.
But now that's more of like a, you know, moral on life. It's like you want, maybe you're, you know, doing you're in your rut, whatever, your routine, and you know you gotta, you know, go take your tests and go to school, go to work, and then
you gotta wish something would happen, and then Holocaust, like that's not like, it's the careful what you wish for, because then you just might get it. Like nothing ever happens to me, and then fucking space Hitler, and then
he was mad that Fern.
I exaggerate for comedy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was also mad that Fern kind of took command. But again,
well, she was older and she had her shit together. Had her shit together.
Yeah, I would say KB probably had her most shit together, but KB was also like kind of messed up. So
I think that's fucked up to say. Speaking of which, the part that I enjoy most is where. I think Wim had to fix like her servo or whatever.
That's an interesting part. That whole episode and that whole scene I thought was done really, really well.
Because like, you know, you get introduced like to a character like KB, and I know like with Star Wars, not a lot of the tech, whether people have, you know, additional parts, what do they call it? Like enhancements, right? And that's
augments.
And that's usually not explained, but I'm like, that one seems pretty crucial because a lot of their adventure relied on her fucking use of tech.
Yeah.
And then for them to actually... for her to explain it. Did they explain why she needed it? She had an accident.
Which was wild to me because I've always seen those and I've always thought, I've always read. I'm pretty sure that they were just like, you know, people want enhancements to do that. When I saw her, I'm like, wow, a kid with all that stuff on, that's kind of weird. And then they explained it like, no, she needs that to live. I'm like, oh shit. Well,
yeah,
I thought the writing was awesome. In the
that
show.
Has a whole that, dimension.
That was so good, especially with like her, you know, trying her best to like. Look or act that she could do everything that all the other kids were doing, but then to finally have to admit that she can't do something and then having to confront her friend about that. Like, I think it was a great message that I hope kids watch that.
The writing in the show was so good on so many levels. Cause you know, you get introduced to the kids and it's like, it's definitely that fun, you know, adventure like the Goonies. And then everyone has their story arc. And for kids, you're thinking, well, how can you really get emotionally layered? How can they grow and learn stuff? And they did. And I think they knocked it out of the park as far as like each person's arc.
Yeah, because Fern even had that moment when they were on, which I thought was a really cool moment when they thought they had the coordinates to their home planet, but it was that other hidden planet.
At Akron?
Yeah, and it was a war-torn crazy planet with the different things. Cool. And, you know, Fern almost got them all killed. And she had that moment of like having to step away and cry.
Planet.
Yeah. she had that moment of having to step away and cry and like realize like she doesn't know what she's doing. And you know, again, to see her character, like she was so confident the whole time of, you know. So to your point, exactly.
Yeah, but I think you said it. Like, I think kids could watch this and actually like step away from, you know, you know what, life isn't all shiny and all cracked up to be. Like, you do have your responsibilities, and you still. I liked it. Really good writing, and they didn't do any kind of like, you know, cheesy flashback, and the exposition that did work when someone's just explaining their backstory was nicely done. Where it didn't feel shoehorned in. Mm-hmm. You'll discover, if you guys haven't seen Captain America, that they fucking heavy hand some shit in there. But like, this one was like nicely done. It's very seamless, and it worked in the moment.
Yeah. To answer my own question, I don't know if there really is a scene that I would go back to and like really need to watch. Yeah. I mean, honestly, anytime I see X-Wings doing shit, no matter what it is, there's X-Wing doing shit, I'll rewatch it. The new trailer for Andor season 2, that X-Wing scene, I've watched it like 1,000 times. And they're just literally hovering and taking off.
Pants fucking up, X-Wings. Pants down.
Some, you know,
mind my own business.
Yeah, how much I've drank.
My landing gear was deployed.
Yeah. Is, lock all those foils in jerk position.
In tribute position. Tribute
position. Because they do have.
Don't touch my X-Wing action figure. I'm just telling you.
It's like Spider-Man when he discovers his powers. He's like, what the fuck is this?
Vulgarity. Jermaine, go ahead.
I'll wait.
No, we're done.
No, he's done.
It's done all over my shoe.
So there was one little scene that I thought that was pretty interesting. Like it was a cool little scene where they were on that planet, the
war torn planet
at Akron. No, the hotel, whatever that.
Oh yeah,
leisure,
the pleasure planet.
When they were down in the,
let's call it forever.
When they were down there in that little area where they met those little snail things, they were like, follow. Follow.
Yeah. The trash crabs.
Oh, they're going to help him out. Follow. And then all of a sudden you saw the big daddy or like mama come out. I was like, oh my goodness. Food.
Is trash crabs what bad baby has? Yes. Current.
I was like, damn, those little things were leading them to their.
Yeah.
That was a cool monster.
To their impending doom.
That was very much like a video game moment. Mm-hmm. Adventure and then psh, boss.
Right. I forget sometimes that like Star Wars has like really good like. Just creatures, just hanging out, like the beginning of the Mandalorian on the ice planet where that thing just comes out of the ice. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, oh, right. The Krayt dragon from that show, like the big dragon,
Tatooine.
Like, yeah,
the little owl creature thing was cool too, where they had to go. Remember the owl that they went to go look for the information, or they tried to get information to where the planet was. Mm. Was a cool little design. Like it almost reminded me of. The scene in Avatar, The Last Airbender, where they went to the desert.
The library.
Yeah, where they went to that library.
Well, that was such a cool part of this show, was that they were able to, you know, because the basic setup, kids got lost, right? Mm-hmm. They found the spaceship, they shot off, they couldn't find their way up, way back, because this, as we learned, this planet was hidden. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it'd be very easy to make a story like that. Oh, kids trying to get home and just fill it with filler. But none of this really felt like filler. None of it. And like every step they took made sense. Like their first step was like, well, we don't know where to go. SM-33 knows this space station. We'll go. It ended up being a pirate station. They had to pirate space station and they had to leave. But then it was like, okay, well, Jude Law's character, Jod, knew the owl lady, right? So they went there and then they got coordinates for another place. Like they had that like sensical turn by turn, step by step like thing. Mm-hmm. So it never felt like too eye rolling.
Like where you get to a place and we're like, oh, I'll give you the coordinates to this planet, but you have to go on a quest for me.
Yeah. 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 It didn't necessarily have the side quest too much. I mean, the pleasure planet had that little bit, but, I don't know. I thought that was all. It felt natural, especially like rewatching episode after episode, because binged the first half again and was like, okay, like this is kind of cool. I like the way they did that. The other aspect that we always talk about so much on this show is definitely world building. And so if you're listening to this and you haven't watched it and you're a Star Wars fan, I would say, even if you're not necessarily interested in watching a show about kids doing Goonies shit, the world building aspect of this was really, really cool. Because as we learned, I felt like I figured this out pretty early, and they definitely confirmed it pretty early in the episode, which I'm glad they did. It wasn't like a big reveal, but like this planet that these kids were on was from the Old Republic. and they had no idea what was going on.
Basically, it was just a mint.
Yeah, it was right. a mint. Mm-hmm. They were making money for the Old Republic, but, you know, the Old Republic has fallen. The Empire took over, and then the Empire had fallen. Like, a lot has happened. And I love that with the Owl Lady, when, like, one of the kids like, oh, we learned about Alderaan. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, poor Alderaan.
Someone tell him about Alderaan.
Yeah.
That not only did it expand the universe, but like with Andor, I love those moments when you get to see how the regular people live. Anyone that's non-force, non-republic, non-so and so forth. Just the fucking normies.
Yep.
And how much do they care about what's going on? How much do they know about what's going on? And their, you know, their knowledge on Jedi or whatever else. And how that actually feeds into just the regular day life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what could make world building so good. And I think I've talked about it on this show, like, you know, there's a lot of movies or stories that come out where I just kind of question, like, what is everyone fighting for? Like, I don't get it. But you look at something like this, it's like, oh, there's a lot for people to be fighting for. They have lives.
When does Andor come out? Season 2.
Soonish?
April. Like, right after we get back from Japan, I think.
Fuck yeah. Can't wait to cover
or
that.
Or we might be, yeah. Oh, it's going to drop 3 episodes at a time. Yeah, so like 4 weeks or every other week. I don't know what they're
fuck
doing.
Yes.
That look, yeah.
Yeah. April 22nd. Beautiful.
Yeah, and or.
Are we coming back like the next day or something like that?
Yeah, it might be the next day. I don't know. I can't do math.
I mean, I used to teach math. We're gone from the 9th and we'll be back on the 23rd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so day after.
All right, sorry, yeah.
I heard some people talking about how this kind of proved that we want, that the audience... that they can do and that the audience would like original stories, whether it be like maybe go forth more with the pirates or just something like this.
Real
like
pirates.
Well, you say original story, but in reality, this is a rehash. This is old 80s, 90s, like kid adventure stuff.
But I guess I mean...
like if you drop that into the Star Wars universe and not have like a not have it connect to...
That's what I mean.
Like the Skywalker saga. Or
no, whatever. And I agree.
Because people were talking like, you could try to do like a Star Wars medical thing. And then I, through some research, learned that there is something that exists.
The books.
Do you know what it's called? Testing Your Knowledge.
I have those.
I only know because I wrote it down.
I own those books too. And I forget what the series was called.
MedStar Duology.
There you go.
Ooh. I've always thought the same thing for Star Trek. Like they could do a medical thing. But then it doesn't really work in Star Trek because they have literally just fucking magic. Boop, 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 you're healed. Other than Geordi's eyes, eventually. Star Trek did do books on like Star Trek engineering. So I like that idea of taking any sort of world, Star Trek, Star Wars, whatever, and like, yeah, we could do like these niche stories.
That, it just has to be good.
That medical. Yeah,
that's it. This is writing. Characters have to come first.
It was just like a 2-book thing, but it followed a group of doctors treating clones, you know. After, you know, getting chewed up in battle and with like, you know, Jedi healers coming in and out of there. But like it followed a couple of doctors around. I'm like, I would watch this. And I think I watched the same video you did where the person mentioned that like a MASH.
Yeah.
Star Wars kind of thing. And I'm like,
the exact same video. Yeah.
And I was listening to that. And I'm like, they did something like that. And that was, they were really good couple of books. I wish they had kind of expanded on it.
Yeah, I mean, there is so much potential to take old shows or old movies such as MASH, such as Goonies, and putting the Star Wars skin on it. And I think they'd be great. And there's a reason why we look back at those shows so fondly, because they are good storytelling. And I'm not saying it's impossible to come up with something new, but I haven't seen it. Like, it's going to be rare. And I think they've tried, obviously, like Acolyte, they tried to do something new. My big complaint with the Acolyte is still like they're playing too much with like this gray area. And I think for the most part, the common viewer really just likes a good old evil, good versus evil, black and white. We know who we're rooting for.
Could have worked. It's the layout of the story, the way they chose to try to kind of like cloak everything and deceive you, you know, to a degree. But I wish they would have just had that. Like you get a couple episodes in, but then you kind of get a little bit of meat, and then you go further, get more to it, because the reveal at the end, you know, who was behind it all. I get that, you know, if you're reading a book, or if, you know, you're watching like a, I don't know, like an animated series, you know, you see, oh, that's the guy behind mm-hmm. the scenes pulling the string, you know, behind the curtains, whatever. But for this day and age, not everybody, I just feel like they should have kind of gave you something to like hold on to mm-hmm. while they kind of explained everything, because just seeing him at the end, and now that we know that it's canceled, I'm like, now we'll never know.
It's a good example of just, I feel like sometimes these properties focus so much on like the reveals and the surprise or whatever. It's like, sometimes just give it to us. Give, like, if they wanted, like, the Acolyte was obviously setting up the idea of like following a Sith story. Mm-hmm. If you want to give us a Sith story, give us a Sith story. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do this whole like, oh, like, who's going to be the Sith? Oh, the one that you thought was. That's all just eye rolling it. Unless you do it really, really well. Yeah. Like, unless you have that solid idea and a solid writer.
But instead of just doing it for, you know, fuck's sake.
Yeah. Like, if you don't have the skills to do a 720, aim for a solid 360 or something. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't, like, I'm just saying, like, I'd love it if we could do. Nice. Yeah, I'm going to pretend like I'm a skateboarder and no tricks or something. I'm not. I just watch a lot of it.
Well, the Acolyte was, they were trying to follow a formula where they were following Akira Kurosawa and his, I haven't seen the movie, but it's called Rashomon.
Oh.
Where they present half the story from one perspective, and then, like, and you see all this and you're like, what the hell? And then they give you the rest of it from another character's perspective, and it's supposed to be like, oh, like, all this was happening, like, as this was happening, and we didn't see it, which I think didn't work for that particular.
Yeah, that's for what
they
saying.
Were trying for.
Yeah. But I mean, I do remember arguing when we were having the conversations about the Acolyte, like, let's just wait. Like, maybe, like, they, because the first few episodes absolutely left stuff out. And we all knew it. But mm-hmm. some people were complaining, like, oh, they're not explaining this. I was like, just give it some time. Like, flashbacks are a thing. It just, yeah, they didn't execute it well.
That aspect of waiting, like, I usually give a show, like, 3 to 4 episodes before, if they don't grab me right off the bat, off the first episode. But if they're telling a story and they're building up to something, I'll usually wait to see what that thing is. And then once it's revealed, you know, that's generally when you know, okay, you either took the bait or you didn't.
Mm.
But it's just one of those things, like Rudy's saying, just the way how they played it out, you know, giving you one angle, and then, you know, you're stating, yes, that's what a lot of people were complaining about, because, you know, they're leaving like chunks out, and then they're going into another story, and you're like, well, you guys didn't explain this yet, you know. And for a lot of people, they don't want that, or their attention span, you know, isn't, you know, like there to literally sit there and like watch this thing and wait till it all plays out,
or it has to be worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly.
Or that kind of storytelling works as a movie and not an episodic series that you got to wait week to week for. Yeah.
But I did,
go ahead.
Going back to Skeleton Crew, I did like within the story that there was a character, you know, that was a pirate or whatever, you know, but he was chasing this legendary thing. And then you find out that
One-Eyed Willie,
that was his ship, mm-hmm. you know. That was one of the cool aspects that I thought, you know, okay, so there's like a pirate legend. Everybody knows, like, you know, the song, and, you know, they were singing it. But it was a thing of, you know, like lore that nobody really knew that it was real. But because it was his ship, the only thing that kind of got me in the beginning too was because it was his ship and they couldn't find the planet. There was a little thing. I was like, well, wouldn't the ship have the coordinates and, shit, you know, to be that. like where it actually came from. But I get the concept, you know, like I just threw that out the window, but I was just like, okay, well, if this is, you know, how they're going to play it. But I'm like, that ship literally blasted off from that
planet. But all the, yeah, it took off from that planet, but all the precautions that old pirate captain took, and, you know, mm-hmm. literally killing anyone that saw the coordinates and making SM-33 wipe his memory. Like,
and smashing the coordinates too, right?
Yeah. He very well might have flown there like manually, right? Like old school, he might have had a paper map or something like that.
But, and they did mention, so going back to it, they did mention, by the way, that button that they pushed in that armor blew up off the ship when it was getting grounded up in that ground, almost looking like Toy Story, you know, where the thing was like munching up. And then that ship pulled out of this sheath. I was like, damn. I was like, finally we get a sexy ship in this bitch. Ship pulled out of this sheath. I was
Was cool to begin with, but then
It was a little clunky to me, but like when it came out of its shell,
I was like, hot, sexy
Legos. Yeah.
But
Lego set, let's go.
An uncircumcised.
But because there was a mention that they said that ship was originally from that planet. So my mind, like me being me, I was like, well, maybe if it's from that planet, you know, and let's just say it was one of those ships that had to go out. Maybe the ship, like the droids, how we've been seeing people, you know, wiping their minds. Mm. Maybe the ship, you know, purposely they.
So that's a security precaution. Yeah, it doesn't
record. Yeah. So that was my
the last jump.
Thing that I was like, okay, well, I'll make up my own reasoning. If
you know how different our minds are, is like you're focusing on that kind of like intricate story thing, and I'm irritated that when Jude Law moves one of the credits, the rest of it just domino falls. I'm like, that's a bad design. That's where my brain goes.
Because that's that Scrooge McDuck shit.
I was watching a video with the kids, and they were saying like, yeah, we had to film that scene like a few times, and those credits were metal and they hurt, and like running and like diving in to like hug each other. Jesus, they're like, oh yeah, like our knees were hurting. I'm like, oh, that's funny. That's cute. I mean, that was part of the fun of this also, was just the marketing. Like anytime you got like an act, like a group of kids doing the interviews and stuff like that, like they always have wacky fucking stories.
Speaking of the money,
welcome.
Let us.
Is there a...
I need someone to walk me through this. Okay. So these group of planets are the Old Republic's mint. You know, they churn out the money. So from the Old Republic falling to the Empire, how does Palpatine, who, you know, all-knowing, hand in everything, the government at that point, like he is the one, how does he lose that money?
We need a separate show to review.
How do these planets become lost?
All the
money that Old Republic, like he's not like, oh, put Imperial stamps on them bitches now, and it's Imperial credits. Like so, how does that happen?
They were hidden from the maps. I'd like to. I'm going to fill this in. So I also just finished watching Bad Batch recently, which I love Bad Batch. I don't know if you guys have all watched all three seasons or not. That's such a great, if you're interested at all in like what happened right when the Empire took over.
Yeah.
Bad Batch is a great, great show. I know it's a kid show or whatever. And you, Omega,
Omega,
but
Omega,
you know, seeing that you saw that there was not, everyone was just like, yay, the Empire is here. There's people like that. So to answer your question, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm going to fill it in with like someone did their due diligence and like hit the delete button. Because I mean, it was hidden. So I mean, it's very possible that the chancellors don't even know. It's, like, it's nobody like a, knows, right?
But it's like a whole series of planets that were just.
And that one planet
completely
had
cut off.
Thousands of vaults.
Yeah,
right. Vaults. And I was sitting there like, like, give me
that,
this money.
Like
give
four, me, that's give Fort Knox, basically. Money. Like that's where they kept all the hard currency. It's like what happened? Like did the Empire just we lost those, so I guess we'll just make new ones. And but then
to Doug's point, like, do you remember the original Star Wars where the Death Star had like that port, and it's like, well, that's like a fucking obvious weak point. And then in Rogue One,
they explain it.
Maybe some guys like, oh, no. We, you know, we all this shit's, I have ear on the outside world. I see what's going on. I need to protect this at all costs and then do what they needed to do.
It's just the
all costs. I see what you did there. Even if you didn't see what you did there.
I saw it.
No, go ahead.
That's what I did.
Confused.
It's just the fact that that these planets were just like completely cut off, and like no one thought to be like, oh well, they stopped picking up the money, so let's just keep going, I guess. And
well,
when
they follow orders, well,
when everything, I guess they'll come back in another 40 years. Like,
well, it was revealed that it was an AI running the planet, right? True. And so
the supervisor,
yeah, the supervisor. Thank you. You know, it probably wasn't in its programming to question the no pickups. So it's probably just like keep on printing. And I mean, I don't think anyone there even knew it was an AI that was running it, right? So,
well, all the adults, that was the whole thing too, is like the AI is running it, the droids and robots are making sure everyone's in line. And then the adults are like, we gotta just do our part and make sure we're doing it for the cause and stuff. And so they're just not questioning anything. And then the kids come along and, you know, obviously question the shit out of everything.
But you see how rare an event it is when the ship actually comes into land and they think it's, you know, an official emissary of the Old Republic. And the people don't know what the fuck's going on because that has happened so long. Because from the fall of the Old Republic through the Empire and then through, like, a bit of the New Republic gaining traction, it's like 20...
I was going to say, it's like less than 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Because if Luke was 18... So Luke was born pretty much when the Empire was born. Mm-hmm. And so if Luke was 18 at episode 4, I don't know. What is the span between episode 4 and
it's
6?
I think from 4 to 5, it's almost immediate.
Like, yeah, 4 to 5 was pretty quick.
But between 5 and 6, there's like a year or two.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a year.
Which I still feel like 5 and 6, that's sweet storytelling.
Yeah.
That Star Wars Outlaw game that I finally started playing is within that time period. Like, that's some sweet storytelling moments right there.
So, yeah, 20 years, give or take.
So it's very possible that the Old Republic itself wasn't doing pickups that often, right? Because with how vast everything is and how much they were making at a time, like, maybe they were only picking up every few years.
Maybe there were people in the back that were questioning it, but were so focused on the main storyline. They're just, you know.
Yeah, or those droids. Those droids just fucking put them in their place. I mean, and
it was just that one planet that seemed to have survived mostly intact because the other planet, like, fell to warring tribes and, like, you know, pre-technology almost.
So you're saying that the, of course, before the Empire took over and they started putting their stamp on it, did the Jedi... And their council have access to this money?
Well, I don't know if they had access, but they were certainly on the approve list because they all like, oh, you're a Jedi. Well, welcome.
So
here's the money. Like, so they were
my problem.
They were running. They were running courier service at the very least.
They could have went to go get Anakin's mom. Is what you're telling me with this money?
Like, we could have bailed her out.
Anakin was right. Some Jedi.
I see through the lies of the Jedi.
Right.
They ain't broke.
His mom was just sitting there slaving away.
They got the funds.
And they had all that money.
They could have bought Tatooine.
When I think about sci-fi.
Could have rolled in there with your metal
like,
just
bling. We own this bitch now. Bring me the mother of the Chosen One.
Did you guys see that the comic books recently revealed that Vader went back to Tatooine to fucking the slave owner? What's his name?
Watto?
Really?
Yeah, I think the comics reveal that he went back to just like get his fucking revenge on him.
I love it.
So whatever I think about sci-fi stuff, like to your point, I always think about like Warhammer 40,000 because that explained like the vastness of the galaxy and the vastness of an empire so well, where you had full planets full of bureaucratic half cyborg, you know, machines just pumping out paperwork that they don't even know what they're doing. And so I always wonder, like, if Star Wars is kind of like that, like, because they have touched on, like, how big that galaxy is. And that was one thing that, of everything that J.J. Abrams did for the new Star Wars stuff, he did play with that idea of, like, this galaxy's huge. Like, not everyone, like, the story of Luke Skywalker blowing up the Death Star and fighting the Emperor is, like, is going to be just myth.
Yeah.
Like, a certain end of it, right? Like, because there's not... like this vast, vast communication system and
it does seem like they were locked out from everything because, you know, what's his name again? Wim, his dad. How, you know, he always wanted to do something else. Like, he didn't want to, you know, obviously go to school and everything, you know, but his dad was telling me, you know, like, this is it. But just the way that their life was on that planet just seemed like they were, you know, secluded from everything. Obviously, they didn't know what was going on. But it just, like Doug was saying, the galaxy is just so vast, but they look like they were like a lost pocket out there, mm-hmm. you know, just existing and just keeping up and going and with no questions asked, because, you know, the supercomputer, whatever it was
the supervisor.
Just, yeah, the supervisor, you know, that was the program, you know, this is what you guys do. Almost like Rick and Morty, how Rick has that universe that's in his battery.
Mm. Oh yeah,
and they're just there, the
microverse.
Just, yeah, like
within a microverse.
Yeah, like this is what we do, and we don't question anything, and this is our purpose.
True, and plus AI, I assume, would be smart enough to know how to manage everybody, so to minimize asking questions, and mm-hmm. and it's I do think it's like an allegory, especially with having Ad-Atten and Ad-Akron. You know, not to joke, but like kind of the whole Holocaust thing where it's like, here's everyone living in their absolutely perfect suburban town, need not, want not, and not knowing that, you know, a few jumps away is this absolutely war-torn planet where they don't have the time to feel, and they're just literally trying to survive, and they have to, you know, indoctrinate the youth in order to fight their wars and shit like that. So just, I think just like a big allegory on everything going on in the world with the face of Goonies on it.
Yeah.
Because it's a cool show, man.
Yeah. I absolutely can see like the Chancellor of the Republic just not knowing the nitty gritty of it all. Mm. Even someone like Emperor, even someone like Palpatine. I feel like he might look into it.
I'd be like, Emperor Palpatine, like he knows where the money is. Like that to me, that's like, No. I know where the money is. That's what I'm securing first, so I can buy all these bitches.
Yeah. So maybe, like I said, I'm going with the idea that some lowly, like,
someone just hit the big red button on the way out. Yeah.
That just did their could, like, you know, and deleted it all. And
some Mads Mikkelsen of this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unless he just had so much money, because he needed money to build the.
I'm balling.
Right? Because he needed money for the clone army and all the other stuff, right?
And then Project Necromancer, and then the Project droids, Stardust.
But just with them saying that they had Flex. Like multiple planets out there, maybe just one of them didn't really. Like, if you're a billionaire and you gotta spend $1 million, I guess not even gonna hit your radar.
Mm. No, not at all.
I think we answered some questions on the show today. I think we learned a lot. We explored it.
I hope they address it. I just want to know.
I love when he stabbed the AI that it just wiped out everything. I was like, everything in Star Wars is just connected to just
one. I know. Yeah. I was kind of mad at that.
The main grid, I was like, okay.
The old mothership thing.
The other cool aspect of the supervisor at the end was when he was like, oh, I'm a Jedi. And it's like, well, the last order we got was Jedis were evil. Like, Jedis were traitors.
Order 66, yeah.
Yeah, it was the Order 66. I'm like, oh, that's like... Again, pretty fun world building with this show. And I think going back to what I was saying earlier about like the gray area and Acolyte, like this one had a little bit of gray with Jod's character, but that's literally his character. But I think we had like some, like the pirates were villains. There was no redeeming qualities to those pirates. They were pirates. They were villains.
Still mad that Jaleel White didn't say it. Did I do that?
I was waiting for it.
I think we all were.
Yeah.
I would have turned it off.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't.
For everyone born in the 2000s, you don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
That's Steve Urkel.
Cue Steve Urkel.
And why? I get this world has a very serious protocol, but those droids were pissing me off.
Oh, on Ad-Atten? Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Guys, calm down.
Well, not the planets, but comply. The parents. The parents literally had to come up with a scheme to try to, you know, and the droids are like, oh, freeze.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, if you guys.
But it's a Republic planet. It's not like like a villainous planet where it's like, okay, they're starting to go off the rails, kill everyone.
Yeah. So that said, I mean, guys, do we tell Star Wars fans to watch this?
He'd be the judge of that one.
I'm 50-50 with this one. This one, like, it's a fun story, but it's, like, it's not. Like, so it's not really the Star Wars that
write an angry letter
that I want.
So the video that we watched, I think, kind of summed it up, like, where everything now seems like homework, where you have to watch this thing to understand what's happening in this thing, to understand what's happening on this thing. Sometimes people will skip over things that don't seem consequential to the main story.
This felt contained.
But, yeah, absolutely. But this is still good on its own. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, they should watch it.
I would say so, yeah.
You should absolutely give it a chance. You will like it.
To Jermaine's point, like, if you're into lightsaber duels and heavy force stuff, like, obviously this isn't it. But, I mean, same thing for, like, Andor, but Andor is amazing. And Rogue One. But, yeah, I agree. I think this is one that you could watch on its own. It's a good classic 80s, 90s, kids on bikes kind of story.
With decent writing.
With decent writing, fun characters.
And Jude Law.
Jude fucking Law.
As a space wizard. Law.
Yeah. And cool sets. Cool. Like, every episode had a cool little story to it all.
And Urkel is a pirate.
Come on. Urkel is a pirate. I was excited. Like, oh, Urkel, he's a pirate. And then, like, that first scene when, like, the kids run by and he's like.
yeah, his acting's not good. So for those of you asking, you know, why hasn't Julia White been in other things? Well, there you have it. There it is.
So you had to put the stamp of approval.
Oh, there we go. Like,
I'm absolutely going to edit something into there.
Yeah, you are.
That sounds good.
Put a button on it.
Cool.
It was straightforward.
Yeah, that's the episode. You guys.
I unclaimsy this episode, whatever.
Unclaimsy. That's law.
I thought it was very good kid acting. From what I read, I think they let the kids improv a little bit, and so it's maybe that's what helped. But like, I thought these were kids. You never lost track that they were kids. It wasn't unbelievable, like, what they were saying, what they were doing.
The other thing that pissed me off about these kids.
Yeah.
They had their moments. Remember, okay.
Just get right in the mic and fucking say it. Just right on.
You're a group of kids, right? And they were like, oh, you know, we want to go home. And, you know, when they went to that one planet and they were supposed to be like the wise men and things like that. And they were just back there like goofing off. I was like, if you guys don't relax.
I think
you guys are trying to. No. I get it, but it's just those little moments. I get their kids, but there's these little moments that I'm just like, if you guys don't relax, like, I'm out here trying to risk my life. Look, to get you guys back home.
That whole planet was an upstairs planet, so like that was the privilege. Those kids never were in a situation where they actually had to be serious, right? Like it was all jokes, mm-hmm. And so like they get in that scary situation. They haven't had that experience that mean single story world, but.
Sorry. He fucking checked to make sure I was listening. He looked right at me. He's like, are you listening?
You're distracted. I saw it. It was beautiful.
I'm going to slam you. You ready for this?
All right. Topic over. Anybody hyped about this? The new season. So we're talking about things at the end of it. Anyone got anything to say to add to this?
Other than Andor coming out on, what did I say, April 22nd.
Fuck yeah.
The recent news of Kathleen Kennedy stepping down as Lucasfilm president by the end of the year after 13 years at the helm.
I think there's going to be people that are going to be celebrating that, and there's going to be a bunch of other people going, yeah.
That's been the consensus, and it's like just 50-50 in the comments. Currently, it's rumored the possible candidates include Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni, Kevin Feige, J.J. Abrams, and Emma Watts. Who's Emma Watts?
I don't know. Same name sounds familiar.
I cannot wait for Star Wars to stay as mediocre as it is under whoever they bring in, as it was under her, and they finally lay it to rest that it was the head of the studio that was killing everything.
Yeah.
People just make shitty decisions sometimes.
Because we still got Andor and Rogue One, from her. What else good did we get from her? We got this. People just want to like look at the one shitty thing and be like, oh, see, because that fucking person. The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
What was the name again? Emma Watts?
No, sorry.
I still, I think we talked about it on the show, or maybe so, I'm certain.
Filoni, for sure.
I'm sure I talked to you guys about it in private, but I read an article a while back where someone was just talking about, like, you look at these, something like Star Wars or even like Simpsons, where, you know, the original Star Wars was George Lucas pulling all these like ideas from a bunch of different sources and putting together in his thing. And same thing with like the Simpsons. It was these people that had all these different like weird niche entertainment sources that they were pulling from. And then now in modern world, the people making Star Wars are people that watch Star Wars. So they're just pulling from Star Wars to try to make new Star Wars. And same with the Simpsons. Modern Simpsons episodes are people that grew up watching the Simpsons. So they're, like, their source material is the material itself.
As opposed to, like, cultural references, it's self-referential.
But you have,
yeah.
But you have the chosen ones out there because, I can't think of his name, but Filoni. Like, there, you know, he was running things under George Lucas or with George Lucas. You have those people out there. I never understood why they just didn't give it to him, like how they gave Feige Marvel, you know. And I don't really know if it was 100% Feige, because now, but I just feel like those people who know Star Wars, yes, you know, George Lucas was pulling from everything, but these people who are coming up that have the love for the craft and want to see the universe like thrive can make it happen.
Yeah.
But they have the right people. Like, it's the same thing. I don't know what the thing is with DC, or, you know, if it's like a law thing, or, you know, you can't write for this, so therefore you can't do this. Like DC, the animated stuff, they're knocking it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's
some comic book, you know, writers and things, you know. I'm like, why can't you guys just go into your well and just get these people?
Remember we talked about that before, yeah.
But I don't know what the restrictions are, but there's just people there that, you know, I'm like, you have the people that have the love and fire for this thing. Just make it happen.
What is Filoni's arc? Did he start by doing Clone Wars?
As far as, in Star Wars?
That, I don't know where he started from.
Dave Filoni.
Here's the thing. I was asking you questions as if I had any answers for you. I know nothing.
Dave Filoni came up with the creators of Avatar. Because he did, I think, pretty sure he did storyboard work for that, and then eventually production, and then eventually directing on the later seasons of the original Avatar.
Oh, we're getting a new one of those, too.
And I think from there, he kind of springboarded into the Clone Wars and in the Star Wars universe. I don't remember if he did a little something before that, but definitely the Clone Wars was kind of like his. I don't know if he started it, but he definitely took over it like at some point, and it was
just. Was he the creator of Ahsoka?
Yes.
The guy that came up with the.
I want a council.
I think all of
to
those.
To have like Anakin under, have a Padawan?
I want a council. I want Filoni. I want Favreau. I want Freddie Prinze Jr. And the guy that voices
Maul.
Yeah.
Sam Witwer.
See, I agree, but I also feel like going back to my point where, like, you know, Lucas created Star Wars by bringing in a bunch of stuff. I feel like you need some people that maybe have never watched Star Wars before.
Here's the balance. Why it's like a council is because you have someone from the outside world like Favreau and Filoni who's able to pull from stuff. And then people that can still, that know so much about the Star Wars world to be able to, like, you know, pass the baton on and link it. Freddie Prinze and Sam Witwer.
Yeah.
You know, teamwork effort.
Yeah.
But it is hard. Honestly, though, it, regardless of who takes over this thing, may the force be with you, because
I wrote down at the end of mine, may the force be with us all.
The fans are merciless, and they're going to come for you.
Yeah, if it isn't the complete original trilogy, anything reflecting that, then fuck it all.
Like,
they're going to come for you, and not in a good way.
If you're
tribute.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
quote, like the Sith code or whatever it is, you know, like they come after people heavy if they mess up a thing that most of them probably can't even, you know, come up with the idea or concept for some of these things.
Like if your 2.5 hour long movie doesn't match the intensity of a 3 minute fucking YouTuber.
that's a great point.
The comparisons to like cosplayers, which I mean, cosplayers are doing amazing things, but I am so tired of just anytime there's a release of like an official costume and just like cosplayers did it better. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of that with Daredevil, but you'd said the word Sith. And the last bit of Star Wars news is that Star Wars Revenge of the Sith is returning to theaters April 25th for its 20th anniversary. So you can relive the horrors of Order 66 on the big screen once more.
God, one of my homeboys in my Instagram chat has sent me like 3 separate posters of just the, hey, it's coming back to theaters. Like, bro, I got it the first time. I go, not only that, but how do you think I'm not keyed into this pulse? Like, my thumb is currently not up the ass of Lucasfilm right now. And every time they shit, so I can feel it.
I do.
Like, come on, man. Like, I'm there.
What medical class did you take?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a pulse there, but.
They're a quart low.
Yeah.
Land the plane.
There's the
plane.
There's the, there's the prostate, and then there's the Star Wars pulse.
I got my finger on the walnut.
I know we've been kind of meh on Marvel lately, but am I allowed to be excited for Daredevil?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a little hype there.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
I hope.
I hope. I was absolutely excited when Disney Plus picked him back up, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then
I'm not excited for
like, oh, we're gonna recast everyone. I'm like, oh, except for Daredevil. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a choice.
Oh, Charlie Cox is good.
And then they stopped that like mid season and was like, you know what, this is not working. Let's bring everyone back. Let's reshoot.
I'm glad that they saw that their choice was not smart.
You didn't say your catchphrase. Trash. Do it over. Fresh one.
He's branching out. Leave him alone.
He won't go again. Also, with Daredevil coming back, didn't they just announce that they're going to do a Punisher series?
I think so, too.
Yeah. A Punisher special, one of those rare Marvel special things. A
Christmas special?
It's supposed to be in the vein of the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special.
Yeah, or the Man Thing.
Kind of like that, too.
No, Man Thing was in it, but it was the werewolf.
Yes.
Yeah, they've done a couple of those Marvel specials.
Yeah, Die Hard Christmas special with Punisher.
Nice.
Die Hard Punisher Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, the apparatus of, you know, Disney Plus is mobilizing to promote this thing. And every time I see something, I'm like, fuck, I can't wait to watch that. Like, I've rewatched the...
March 7th?
Yeah. No. Yes. I had it.
Just assume I know it.
Yeah, it's in March. March 4th, I think. Anyway, but you know, I'm rewatching the original Daredevil series, and I'm probably gonna just go through the whole thing and then watch the Defenders again. I'm like it sparked something within me, and I'm like, I'm really excited for this.
Speaking of Defenders, they also mentioned that they're willing to bring the Defenders back. They're
exploring the idea.
Please now
continue with the characters.
Get rid of Iron Fist or rework his fucking character. That show sucked.
I honestly didn't watch much of them. I watched the cool long one-er of Daredevil, and that was about it.
Hell yeah.
Daredevil's a good show.
Yeah.
That's it.
Jessica Jones was a good show. Luke Cage was a good show. Yeah. Iron Fist
I don't like how Luke Cage ended.
Yeah.
Iron Fist was the only one that was kind of mid, but Luke Cage, it ended, but it's one of those things that had a promise.
Yeah,
it
did.
If they were going to come up with more, you know, give us more seasons, but...
The
way it went.
I feel because they had to just wrap it up. It got sloppy. Like their ending of this episode. So anything else you want to cover on the fucking skeleton crew or anything recent hype?
I got 2 things.
Yeah,
go for it.
I have to apologize to The Expanse that I didn't start watching you when you first
subscribed. Oh, is it that good? It
took you so long.
Oh, is it that good?
Over there smelling your fingers. Come on now.
It's just a good... It's it's one of those things that you have, you know, your Star Wars, you have your Star Trek, you know, cool. Leave that where it is. But then you have, you know, you have your Battlestar, and then you have The Expanse. It's just something different. But it's a good difference.
Yeah.
And right we now being
hierarchy that right now caused a fight. But yeah, Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar, Expanse. Where does that go? Fight me.
Up here.
Ooh, but fight me.
Chisel marks. I'll see this episode.
It's only because I'm just a big, you know, like space vastness type person. Remember, we were talking about powers. You know, I was like, I want to be the Silver Surfer because I want to go out there and just like deep space. Just give it to me, everything. But all that. But it's just a good series. And if you liked Battlestar, you'll definitely like.
Oh, fuck.
Like this series too.
You compare it to Battlestar, now I have to watch it.
But it's just one of those things because they.
It's still on.
My nipples. I don't want to say too much, but they just put you smack dab in the middle of this, you know, this grudge. And then you get the story on a kind of like what's happening behind the scenes. And then you have your crew that's, you know, that just assembled because they had to, and they're trying to stop this thing. But just the elements that they put in the story, I like the feel of this like space. Like I liked like the technology, you know, their suits, their the little kind of like gimmicky things that they have in there, the way that the weapons shoot, like everything. I just love the way that the world feels. And then my second thing real quick, on Hulu, I just recently started Paradise.
I wanted to check that out.
Man, that first episode grabbed me, and I think I'm on like maybe the fourth episode right now. But it's one of those elements, like if it's a highly elite, you know, presidential detail, but they're of course guarding the president, but just something happens and they have to find out what. But it's what happens at the end of the first episode. I was like, they got me with that sci-fi element of the show.
Any more series to watch?
I think NPR was talking about that. And like, because I had seen it. I'd seen it called Paradise. It was like presidential. I'm like, I don't want to watch some White House bullshit. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, NPR was talking about it. I can't quite remember the thing, what it was. But it was still just like, oh, okay, now I'm interested. Like, now this is the thing I want to watch. So
is that the
one? I
don't
want to spoil anything. Like if you guys
I'm gonna watch it.
Especially the first episode. Like when you find out what's happening, you're gonna be like, oh, okay, you got me.
Is that the one with James Marsden as the president?
Cyclops.
Yeah. Okay, because I've seen the Paradise title and I've seen that trailer, but I haven't seen those put together. So I'm like, what the fuck is Paradise? It's coming up a lot.
You mean the star of Jury Duty? I love that show.
Although the lead of the show, his name? Xavier.
Ooh. Don't remember to take your monitor over there. You fucking what?
Real quick,
random trivia.
I'm looking at the fucking thing here. Random trivia. People's names. Really going deep there.
Real quick for me, Steam Neckfest is going on, which I think happens like two or three times a year.
But Next Fest.
Oh, I know, I messed up. Yeah, sorry. Thank you for pointing it out.
I was just trying to clarify. Next,
you know he has trouble talking.
Next Fest is going on, so I'm sure I'm going to be like bugging you guys with demos, and I might put a video together of like which demos I've played. I already found one that I think is going to be really
good. I like watching you play games. I like sitting in the chair and like doing my own thing, but every once in a while I'll be like, oh, like that looks fucking fun.
Yeah. When I'm not in photo mode.
I could probably never do that myself because like I just don't have the, you know, dexterity. But I'm like, holy shit, like I could not do that. Anyway.
You don't have the dexterity.
Not anymore, man. It's fucking claws now.
Your prostate thumb. Did you have anything
high? No, the Star Wars pulse thumb. The prostate's a little bit further up.
Anatomically correct.
Morally wrong. Yep.
If anyone's ever wondered.
Holy shit, that's a tagline. That's going on something.
All right, there you go. And if you're only listening to this fucking nonsense, reminder, you can also watch us at youtube.com/thehypeattackpod. Full video episodes. Welcome back to season 3. Second episode. We're fucking doing it, guys. Cool. Until next time, same hype time.
Same hype channel.
Hype attack.
And then do an effect. Just do like a cool effect.